أسأل الله أن تكونوا جميعا بخير حال، وأحمد الله أن جعلنا جميعا طلاب حق، ونسأله أن يجعلنا كذلك. Dear brothers and sisters, today we are going, inshallah ta'ala, to continue the dars we have started, which is the second pillar, the salah. We have so far covered the conditions of salah, and today we are going to speak about the pillars of salah. We're going to speak about the pillars of salah. And in fact, there are 14 pillars for salah. To know them, to memorize them, to remember them. When I mention them now, I want you to just imagine that you are praying. Imagine that you are praying so you can know them. So you can know them and memorize them. The first one is standing. The first one is standing. And perhaps first thing you do when you want to pray is to stand. Is to stand. But standing is compulsory in the obligatory prayers like Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib and Isha and Jum'ah perhaps. And the other prayers like the Rawatib before and after Salah, the general optional prayers, the two rak'ah after Tawaf, the two rak'ah for entering the mosque, the night prayers, Taraweeh, Tahajjud, whatsoever which is not obligatory, then it's up to you. You stand or you sit down. But you need to know that if you are going to stand, you're going to have the double reward of the one who sits down. Now, double the reward of the one who sits down. And the obligatory prayers, if you are unable to stand, then you can sit down. But if you are somebody who can walk to the row, that means you can stand for a while just to say Allahu Akbar, which is tahiyyat and takbirat al-ihram. Then this is essential upon you. If it is possible for you to stand, even just for the moments that you could say Allahu Akbar to enter the salah, then it is compulsory upon you. And after that, you can sit down if you are unable to continue standing. But in salat, but if you are unable, if you are someone who is paralyzed, you are using wheelchair, then, because of the circumstance, if you are honestly willing to stand but you are unable, Allah Ta'ala will give you the complete reward as those who pray in a standing position. In both obligatory and optional prayers. The evidences for that, first of all, the evidence for standing itself is what Allah Ta'ala said, as in the Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, Ayah number 283. Allah Ta'ala there said, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. وقوموا. This part of the ayah. وقوموا لله قانتين. And stand before Allah with obedience or with tranquility. That is the general dalil for qiyam, for standing. Also the Prophet ﷺ, as in Bukhari, as reported in the Sahih of Imam Bukhari, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu anhu, he sallallahu said, salli qa'ima, salli qa'ima. Pray in standing position. Pray in standing position. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ, but if you are unable to, فَقَاعِدَ, but if you are unable to, then pray in standing position. فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطِعْ فَعَلَى جَمْبِ, and even if you cannot pray in sitting position, and you can't in laying down to the side of your body or to the back of your body, then do it. And the conclusion of this is you pray as possible as you could go to. If it is possible to stand, you have to stand. If it is not possible to stand, but it is possible to sit, you have to sit. If it is not possible to sit, but you can lie down on your side, then you have to lie down on your side. If it is not possible to lay down on your side, but to your back, then your back. If it is not possible to sit on your, on your face, then on your face. Any position you are able to. So you are told to worship Allah and all kinds of worship upon your ability. The problem of many of our brothers and sisters that they do not deal with the worship upon their ability, they deal with the worship upon their wish. Like, I mean, if he likes to sit, he doesn't stand. And then he say, the Prophet ﷺ said, فَإِنْ لَمْ تَسْتَطَعْ فَقَاعِدَ. And we say, no, this is not general. It's not given to anybody. It is to those who are not able to stand. Or if he is somebody unable to stand, but he can sit, he chooses to lay down. Say, why, Yaakhi? This salah is not accept it. Subhanallah. Why? Because you're laying down. He says, that, okay, the Prophet ﷺ in the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn in Bukhari, the Prophet ﷺ said, you can lay down. He said, you can't lay down if you cannot sit down. If you cannot sit down. But if you can sit down, you cannot choose to lay down. If you do so, this prayer is not accepted. So this is the first condition. The second condition is takbiratul ihram. What is takbiratul ihram? What is takbiratul ihram? Takbiratul ihram, ihram is means the thing that makes things which used to be permissible, impermissible. And in salah, it is saying Allahu Akbar at first, at the beginning. when you say Allahu Akbar. This means that speech is not allowed, prohibited now, other than the Quran, the subligation or the rituals, and dua. The eating is impermissible, laughing is impermissible, drinking is impermissible, playing is impermissible, all these things impermissible then. And that's why it's called takbiratul ihram or tahreem. So you have to know what to do. So you don't have to do. If you say Allahu Akbar, all those things which are permissible are becoming impermissible. Brother Abu Fatma is saying that I have done this dars before. I really, because of the long break, I did not realize, and that's why I say you guys need to know what we done, what not. Let's take a quick revision there. So we said that the first bidah is standing if possible. The second is takbiratul ihram. Takbiratul ihram. The third is recitation of Fatiha. And in regard to recitation of Fatiha, but let me first go back to takbiratul ihram. In takbiratul ihram, I see some people doing mistakes in there. Somebody who comes while the imam is doing ruku', they go for ruku', they bow before they say Allahu Akbar for standing. I mean in standing position. And that's wrong because the salah is not yet started. Because to start the salah is to say Allahu Akbar in a very vertical standing position. Your back must be straight up. That is how you start your salah. Even it is just for a few seconds to say Allahu Akbar and then bow. The fourth is Qira'atul Fatiha. And Qira'atul Fatiha, as we said before, it has different opinions for the scholars. Some of them say it is compulsory in every rak'ah. And they say, if one comes in ruku' position while the imam is in ruku', he has to join with them in ruku', but he cannot count that rak'ah. That is one saying. And it is the choice of Imam Bukhari, it is the choice of, or the opinion of Imam Bukhari, the opinion of our noble Sheikh Muhammad Adam al-Ethiopi. But some other shuyukh, the majority, they say, although we agree that it is a pillar of salah to recite Fatiha in every rak'ah, but yet we say that the one who comes to the jama'ah while the imam is in bone position, he doesn't need to recite Surah Al-Fatiha. He joined the jama'ah. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا قَمَ أَحْدُكُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِذَا قُمْتُمْ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَأَتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَمْشُونَ وَلَا تَأْتُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ تَسْعَوْنَ وَمَا أَدْرَكْتُمْ فَصَلُّوا وَمَا فَاتَكُمْ فَأَقْضُوا. The Prophet ﷺ said, if you go for salah, you walk, you don't run, you don't jog, you don't hurry up, and whatsoever from the salah you catch, then you perform with the imam, and whatever missed, then you have to redo them. What explains that is what happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was leading the jama'ah and he was in the bone position, when somebody entered the mosque from the side door, and once he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the jama'ah in bowing position, he was afraid that by the time he joined the row, the imam might raise his body. So he joined the ruku' from the gate, and then he walked in a bowing position. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the prayer, he asked, who of you walk like animals? Dabba. That is called Dabba. The man said, I did, Ya Rasulullah. I did. He said, Zadakallahu hirsan, wa la ta'ad. May Allah make you more careful, but do not come back to that again. Now the ulama had different understanding to this expression. وَلَا تَعُدْ, do not come back to that again. Some of them, or the majority of them say, وَلَا تَعُدْ. And this means don't go back to that again. But some of them said, وَلَا تُعِدْ. And that means you don't need to redo your salah. And that means it's okay, it's acceptable. So for these two meanings, 100% who join the imam in rukuk position, he will not need to redo that rakah. However, some other scholars said, no, the meaning of this word is la ta'adu. La ta'adu. See, in the whole meaning, the word is compound from letter ta'ayindal. So this group of scholars said, wala ta'adu. It means, wala ta'adu means don't run. And this is not acceptable because the man did not run. The man did not run. Because he might have heard the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, we just mentioned, if you go for salah, you walk and you don't run. You don't hurry up. So the man was walking in bowing position, that's why the Prophet ﷺ told him not to go back to that, and told him not to redo that rak'ah. That means it is counted. And it's counted although the man did not recite al-Fatiha. Why? Because the position of where you recite al-Fatiha is passed. So, how come you go back to it? So the fourth is ruku'. Fourth is ruku', bowing. Bowing. Back to Fatiha. We said before that Surah Al-Fatiha is obligatory upon everyone who is praying. Except for the one who missed the position or the place where Fatiha is to be recited and he called the jama'ah in ruku' or sujood. That is a different case. But for the one who comes in the standing position of the imam, he has to recite Surah Al-Fatiha, even if the imam is reciting the other surah. Some of the ulama said, no, he cannot do that, because the position of Fatiha is gone, and the imam now is doing other surah. And Allah Ta'ala said, فَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. We say this is true. All what he said is true. But it has a different explanation. First, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. There is no prayer, meaning the prayer is not counted, for the one who doesn't recite Surah Al-Fatiha in it. And one day the Prophet ﷺ was leading the Jama'ah when Imam recited the Fatiha and the other surah that the Prophet ﷺ was reciting. Or maybe different surah. But he was reciting with the Prophet ﷺ in a way that the Prophet ﷺ heard some of what he said, and he was annoyed and bothered. So he, ﷺ, after salah said, من الذي كان يناجعني القرآن؟ Who is that who was struggling against me with the Quran? Because both were reciting maybe different surahs, so no concentration. The man said, I did, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ knew that he did it unintentionally. So he then said, I mean, the Prophet ﷺ said then, لا تفعل إلا بفاتحة الكتاب. Do not do such a thing except with فاتحة الكتاب, which is سورة الفاتحة. The fourth is ركوع. And ركوع يا إخوان, so many people do mistakes in ركوع. Some of them do not do طمأنينة. Do not do طمأنينة. طمأنينة is tranquility. They just bow for a few seconds and rise up. Now that's wrong. Second, from the mistakes in ruku is that some people bend their backs like an egg or like the olive. And that's bad. That's bad. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed the Sahaba how to make the ruku'. So he was making his back level, straight. I mean, straight. It's not bent. Straight. And as in the other hadith, the hadith of Aisha, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to look to the place where he is going to prostrate. And the way to be positioned in salah and in ruku' according to the sunnah is what Abu Mas'ud Uqba ibn Amir said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he used to make ruku', he separates his hands from his side and puts or locates his palms on the knees, and the fingers are spreaded. From all the sides of the knee. So that is how you make ruku'. And then we have the rising up from ruku'. Rising up from ruku'. You have to rise up. You cannot go from ruku' to sujood immediately. That is wrong. And then a sujood على الأعضاء السبعة. A sujood على الأعضاء السبعة. Prostrating with the seven specific body parts or bones that have to touch the ground. As the Prophet ﷺ said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَسْجُدَ عَلَى سَبْعَةِ أَعْظُمْ. I've been commanded to prostrate up on seven bones, the forehead and nose. This is one. The two bums, these are three. The two knees, these are five. And the two feet, these are seven. These are seven. After sujood, rising from sujood. You have to rise. You cannot just imagine that these are two sajdat. You cannot separate between them by the intention. You cannot separate between them by the speech only that you say. No. You have to separate between the two sajdat by rising up. Rising up from sujood. And then, al-jalsatu bayna sajdatayn. Sitting between the two prostrations. You have to sit. So many people we see, especially in al-Masjid al-Haram, al-Masjid al-Nabawi, from outside the kingdom, they just go as quick, very, very quickly. And that's wrong. And then we have الطمأنينة في جميع الأعضاء في جميع الأركان. طمأنينة meaning the tranquility in the whole prayer. Tranquility. And then we have التشهد الأخير or the last تشهد. The last تشهد. Or the final tashahud. And sitting for it. Because it is not allowed for one to sit tashahud al-akhir in standing or bowing position. Or even prostrating. You have to sit down for the final tashahud. And then we have As-salatu ala al-Nabi. As-salatu ala al-Nabi. And that means we have to say as-salatu Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, etc. Some of the scholars say that it is obligatory upon any prayer, even the option. And that is wrong. I mean, salatu ala Nabi, they say even in the first tashahud, not only the last. Sorry for this mistake. Some people say, you say tashahud, you say salatu ala Nabi, even in the tashahud al-awwal, and they say it is obligatory. And it was to be so obligatory because the Sahaba described the way the Prophet ﷺ prayed. But because some Sahaba or because the Prophet ﷺ related that to the ability, from there we know that if one is unable to do it in sitting, he does it in whatsoever position he can. And then we have that is 12, and then we have الترتيب or the order. The order of the prayer. So you cannot do sujood before ruku'. Cannot do ruku' before recitation of Fatiha. That is wrong. And then we have at-taslimatan. Taslimatan. The final taslim. The final taslim. At the end of the salah. So these are 14 pillars of salah. I want to speak about some pillars here, but we will make it inshallah tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. The two taslim, and before that the order of the salah, the sequence of the salah. And by that we come to the end of our session today, but we take some questions if there are. And here is one. Yeah, Brother Abu Fatma, I think you missed tranquility. What is the 14th? Here is a question from sister Om Bilal. From sister Om Bilal, it says, "And stand before Allah with obedience, and do not speak to others during the salah." Yeah, we said 238, 238. Maybe it was a mistake for me. Yeah, the ayah of Surah Al-Baqarah. وَقُومُوا لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Now, is there any question, Brother Abu Fatima? Is the nose considered one of the body parts that has to be reseated on the ground during sujood? Yes, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam described that. He said that it's not one of the body parts, but it is part of the of one of the body parts. It is part of the face. It is part of the face. And the face is one part of your body. So whatsoever in it is from it. And that's why you're commanded to proceed on the forehead and the nose. Na'am, wallahu a'lam. Can she, who is she, can she do shahada and then I teach her step by step, or I have to teach her first some of tawheed? No, you make her to say the shahada first, no problem. Make her to say the shahada first and then teach her. Because you do not know if she is going to die right after the Shahada, or she can live a while until you teach her. So the advice is, make her to say the Shahada and then teach her. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ did with the Jew boy. When he came to him, he just told him, say la ilaha illallah. And when he came to his uncle Abu Talib, he said, say la ilaha illallah. And he was commanded, as in the hadith, he said, I was sent to make the people say la ilaha illallah. And then after that, teaching comes. Wallahu a'lam. Raising hands is optional act of worship, of prayer. It is an optional act of prayer that to be done only in four places, not else. Well, it is not obligatory, it is optional. The four places are: the first, with takbirat al-ihram, the beginning of the salah, when you say Allahu Akbar, you raise your hands. The second is when you finish the recitation of Fatiha and other surah and you are going for ruku', you raise your hand saying Allahu Akbar. The third is after you finish the ritual of ruku' and you want to say Sami Allahu liman hamidah, you raise your hand and say Sami Allahu liman hamidah. And the fourth is when you are praying three rak'ah prayers like Maghrib, or four rak'ah prayers like Dhuhr, Asr and Isha. Then after the two rak'ah, after the first shahud, you want to stand, you raise your hand and say Allahu Akbar. So these are the four places where you can raise your hand. However, the way to raise your hand, it is to be parallel to your ears or to your shoulders. And your fingers are straight up, palm to the Qibla, and the fingers are straight, are not bent. Na'am. Wallahu a'lam. Is straightening the body from ruku' a separate pillar? Yes, it is a separate pillar. Beside rising. Rising is one pillar, straight your back is other pillar. Now, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to meet tomorrow. If there is a possibility, inshallah ta'ala, we're going to make it at 11, because we're going to have Sheikh Rasulullah Abbasi with us tomorrow, inshallah. He's going to give a lecture in my mosque, and then we have a little dinner for him. I don't know how long it takes after, inshallah, the lecture and the dinner. But inshallah ta'ala, I assume that at 11 I'd be free to do the lecture, inshallah. If not, yeah, just wait for me. I'll be in, inshallah ta'ala. And we're going to talk more about some of the pillars, how to perform them and how people make mistakes on them. Allahu a'lam. Ya Sheikh Rasulullah Abbas. He's going to lecture in Urdu. You guys cannot understand, that's why. It would be late for him. It would be late for him to come as a speaker. And he goes back to Mecca. So I assume that he's going to shoot to Mecca right after the lecture. But inshallah ta'ala, We're going to continue tomorrow, inshallah. The order of salah is a pillar. Yes, it is a pillar. No, why 15? Let's count. Muhammad used to say that it's 15. No, it's not. We say takbirah qiyam ma'al qudra. Qiyam, standing, one. Takbirah al-ihram, two. Recitation of fatha, three. Ruku' four. Rising from ruku' five. Stretching up the back after ruku' six. Sujood upon the seven parts of your body. That is number seven. Number eight is rising from sujood. Number nine is sitting between the two sajda. Number ten is tranquility. Number ten is tranquility, that's true. Number 11 is the tashahud, the last tashahud. Number 12 is sitting for it. Number 13 is the Salatu ala Nabi. And number 14 is Tislimatan. You're right, but some of the scholars can include order in, yani, they say that it is understood from the way the sequence of Salah goes. But some of the ulama makes it as a separate pillar. But anyway, it is well known, because the Prophet ﷺ described how to pray. You cannot do sujood before ruku'. So from that we know that the order is very essential. The order is very essential. Now, inshallah, brother Abu Fatima, I will. Yeah, inshallah. Yeah, those who live in Jeddah, they are more than welcome to come and for contacting me to know the location, as this is my number here in Jeddah. The masjid is called Masjid al-Bara. It is inside the airport compound. It needs some permission, but call me and I will, inshallah, make it easy for you. Now the lecture is going to be in Urdu. That's what we asked the Sheikh to, and he's teaching in Urdu even in the Masjid al-Haram. We'll try, inshallah, we'll try to transmit it on Baltok, but I don't know how and it's going to take us, but inshallah ta'ala we'll try. If not transmitted, at least we're going to play it right after or maybe in my dars time, inshallah, we're going to play it in the room here. Wallahu a'lam. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى اله وصحبه. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته.